Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, apologies for the short loss in transmission before 5, but you were hearing there in the headlines, power sharing in Northern Ireland could be restored within days after the DUP endorsed a deal to go back into the Stormont executive when the British government delivers promised legislation to reduce the impact of post-Brexit trade arrangements. The party said it achieved a major victory after a boycott of devolution that lasted almost 2 years. So who are the winners and who are the losers, if any, in this deal? To discuss this, I'm joined by Minister Simon Coveney from our Edifice studio, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hey Cormac, hi, how are you?
What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think it's really good news. That's the first thing. You know, we haven't got a lot of good news out of Northern Ireland for quite some time. There's been no functioning devolved government in Northern Ireland for 2 years. The aftermath of Brexit has been incredibly polarising and corrosive to politics in Northern Ireland. I think there's been a big breakdown of trust between many unionist leaders and other parties in Northern Ireland, but also with the Irish government and indeed with London too. So, you know, this is a positive development. The fact that Geoffrey Donaldson is now committed to the re-establishment of a functioning Stormont in terms of an executive and assembly is something that we should be supporting and trying to build on positive momentum that it can generate. Mm-hmm. You know, in your introduction there, you rightly asked the question, I suppose, who are the winners and who are the losers here? Actually, sometimes in politics, there doesn't need to be losers. You know, I am hopeful that when we see the document published tomorrow on what's been committed by the British government to the DUP, that we will see practical arrangements in place that do not in any way undermine the Windsor framework, mm-hmm. which of course is the basis agreement for how we trade on the island of Ireland and how we trade with the UK
post-Brexit. If I could ask you to pause there for a second, because that's one of the sticking points in terms of my understanding of this, because I'm listening to Geoffrey Donaldson, who's saying in media briefings that they've managed to dismantle large parts of the Windsor Protocol. And then I've listened to the Taoiseach on this station at lunchtime saying that they've got commitments on the Windsor Protocol from the British government. So it's very difficult to reconcile the two, isn't it?
Well, look, I mean, from our point of view, this is an agreement between the DUP and the British government that provides some reassurance to unionism that trade within the United Kingdom, single market, if you like, between GB and Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. Can be as free-flowing as possible within the confines of what's been agreed between the UK government and the EU. I would be very surprised if the British government undermines what is a legal agreement with the EU, which took years to put together.
What commitments did the Irish government get from the British government regarding the protocol?
Well, sorry, this is the Windsor framework, of course, was a development of the protocol.
Mm-hmm. So the commitments, what are they?
Well, we don't have the full details. What we do know is that the British Prime Minister spoke to the Taoiseach today and there's been a communication between the Taoiseach's office and the Prime Minister's office, and what we're being told is that nothing has been agreed to or committed to that would undermine the key issues for Ireland, which is free-flowing trade in the island of Ireland, mm-hmm. which is now worth about 12 billion euros a year, and of course the relationship between the UK and the EU, which is very important for Ireland, because so your listeners know, Cormac, I mean, the trade across the Irish Sea now between Ireland and Great Britain is worth about 100 billion euros a year, and there's about 200,000 people in Ireland directly employed to that trading,
so it's linked to that trading, really important. And what Geoffrey Donaldson is saying is that the changes in terms of GB to Northern Ireland on trade, he says this new agreement would remove checks on goods moving within the UK and remaining in Northern Ireland and end Northern Ireland blindly following EU laws, he says. So is there a legal change? Is there a significant legal change in your understanding to the Green Lane and the protocol in general?
Well, I mean, don't forget what we have already in the Windsor framework is is a green lane system that allows for products that are effectively under what's called a trusted trader scheme. Products that we know are coming in from GB into Northern Ireland and we know are staying in Northern Ireland in terms of purchase and consumption, that they don't have anything like the same checks applied to them as goods that may move from Northern Ireland south of the border into the Republic and, of course, into other parts of the EU single market.
Has that been fundamentally and changed? Has it been legally changed?
I don't believe so, but we'll have to see what's published tomorrow.
Does EU law still hold sway in the north then?
Certainly, my understanding for what's been agreed is that it will in no way undermine or impact negatively on the trade on the island of Ireland between north and south and south and north, and it won't undermine either the EU single market's integrity, which of course is the key issue here.
So just to clarify that, EU law will still have precedence, will it?
Well, look, I mean, I don't want to talk in detail about a document that I've yet to see, Cormac.
Understanding of it?
I know your job is to get as much out of me as you can.
No, fair enough. But
I'll happily come on and talk to you tomorrow or the next day on the detail of the agreement when it's published. Yeah. But all I can say is that we've got some reassurance. And I think, it would be very surprising if the British government were now to undermine an agreement that took many, many months to put in place between the UK and the EU.
I don't want to push you on anything that where a deal hasn't been published and we haven't seen the details yet. But as far as you know, it's really important for the restoration of Stormont and how business operates in the north. And this question of divergence, if there's a divergence in the future in standards and regulation between the EU and the UK, what happens then, and what happens specifically if there's a dispute on trade regulations? Who's the final arbiter?
Well, there is what's called a joint committee where senior UK and EU negotiators meet and look to resolve problems and challenges if and when they emerge. So, for example, that joint committee, I understand, as late as the last 24 hours, has now resolved an issue in relation to UK trade deals or elements of them applying and benefiting Northern Ireland. So they're the kind of things that could be teased through in that joint committee. There's there are legal structures that have been put in place to resolve those issues. But I think, you know, let's focus on positives and progress when they come from Northern Ireland, because we haven't seen too much of it in the last number of years. Mm-hmm. What we've seen now is the DUP, who have effectively refused to facilitate the functioning of devolved government in Northern Ireland, now saying that they are going to do that, probably within days, and we will get the details of the agreement between the DUP and the British government, which I understand involves two pieces of legislation that can be introduced at relatively short notice through the House of Commons. And I think we'll get a lot of that detail in the next couple of days. But the Irish government's position, by the way, has always been that as long as the EU's single market integrity is protected, as long as an all-island economy can function without any requirement for physical barriers that would prevent that trade or would require checks and so on, as long as that can be maintained, well, then we want as few checks as are absolutely necessary in the Irish Sea, whether that's between GB and Northern Ireland or indeed between GB and Dublin.
So can I ask you about the political ramifications of all of this? If Stormont is restored, the Sinn Féin president, Mary Lou MacDonald, said that she says, a moment of very great significance if Michelle O'Neill becomes the first nationalist first minister. She says that the day of inbuilt permanent unionist majority is gone, and it signals a new Ireland emerging and a conversation around a new constitutional dispensation and Irish unity and so on. Is she right?
Well, look, I mean, I don't think it's helpful for her to be, creating unnecessary tension with unionism in terms of what she's saying. But of course, this is a significant moment for both nationalism in Northern Ireland and for Sinn Féin. I wish Michelle O'Neill well. She's going to become the First Minister. It's the first time that that Sinn Féin has held that office in Northern Ireland, and I wish them well. And we'll work with the First and Deputy First Minister. Of course we will. But I think we've also got to try to be sensitive here to unionism, as well as recognising that this is a significant moment for the nationalist community in Northern Ireland. We've got to try to do both.
How can you ensure, how can the Dublin government ensure that this is real power sharing now, if it's restored, and not just power division, as we previously had on so many occasions in Stormont?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. You know, we did, I think it's 4 years ago now, but we did get an agreement with all of the parties in Northern Ireland and with the two governments to what was called New Decade, New Approach, which was quite a long document that had a lot of policy commitments that all parties signed up to work together towards. And I think that document is as relevant today as it was 4 years ago. But I also think that, you know, people in Northern Ireland have I think been very disillusioned with the inability of parties to be able to agree to devolve government in the last number of years. I think they will be quite demanding now, and rightly so, of a new devolved government structure, and they'll want the people that they've elected to represent communities in Northern Ireland to be making things happen. And certainly, as a government, we'll support that. We badly need to have North-South Ministerial Council meetings working again. We badly need to support the North-South bodies like Tourism Ireland, Intertrade Ireland, the Locks Agency, Waterways Ireland. There's a long list of those agencies that really haven't had any political support and mandate for the last number of years in the absence of a North-South Ministerial Council. So there's a huge amount of work to do. But I think the most important thing, perhaps, is that both governments, mm-hmm. the British government and the Irish government, start working more closely together to support parties in Northern Ireland. I mean, the peace process works in Northern Ireland when the two governments are working closely together. When they're not, it tends to show serious signs of stress, which is what we've seen in recent years.
Can I ask you finally and briefly, if at all possible, about another matter entirely, and course, your opinion? Would you be inclined, as Minister, in Ireland joining or intervening in the genocide case against Israel?
I mean, I'd like to see the legal case for that from the AG before we commit to doing it. I mean, I think there is, of course, huge anger and anxiety in terms of what we're seeing being inflicted on the population of Gaza now. I've been there many times, and it is horrifying to see the conditions that many families and children are living in, and of course the numbers of people that have been killed. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this is a case of genocide. And I think one of the things we need to see now is South Africa outlining their full case, which they say will take at least 3 to 4 months. I think we need to study that and then decide in an informed way whether this is a legal case. Because don't forget, this case is going to go on for a number of years, mm-hmm. As to whether it's appropriate for Ireland to intervene in that case. But perhaps more importantly, in the meantime, what Ireland needs to do is use all of the influence that it has internationally to bring about a ceasefire, which I hope may well be possible, in the next few days or weeks, and then focus on the aftermath of this conflict in the context of what a two-state solution looks like and what the future for Palestinian people looks like in peace alongside an Israeli state. Okay. And that's ultimately how we can impact on the lives of millions of people that are being disrupted in a horrific way at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Simon Coveney Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.